around the NFL. My name is Stephanie. You can find me on Twitter at Steffi Smalls with three L's. I'm very excited today. I get to chat with Gilbert Manzano. Did I do it right?
You got it, Stephanie. Correct.
He covers the Chargers, which I'm honestly pumped about because I have to tell you, I feel like my Chargers knowledge is very limited. So I think it's going to be great to hear from you. How is everything? How are you doing? Where can people find you? What's going on?
Yeah, before I give out my Twitter, I was going to say you're going to find a lot of negative news from the Chargers coming from me. So brace yourself for a lot of depressing comments and news and updates. But you can find me on Twitter at GManzano24 for all that depressing content.
Right.
And Stephanie, it sounds like it's your first show, so I'm excited to be on with you.
Yeah, definitely. So I will let you in on a secret that I am a New York Giants fan. So I promise you it's not nearly as depressing as the Chargers. It's much more dark and stormy over here. So.
Okay, when you put it that way.
It depends. So how is this season going? What's like with COVID? What's happening?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like we're covering the NFL in a pandemic, but it's kind of in the back of my mind. I kind of forget sometimes. It's a little strange, but you know, when I go into the media center or watching practice, you know, I am wearing a mask, but that's kind of become common, I guess, and I'm used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But covering the Chargers kind of just feels like the same old, it's just we're in a pandemic, so that's like the twist.
Right.
But they're, you know, they're blowing games, they're blowing leads,
yeah.
They have injuries, it's kind of the same old, but there's a quarterback, Justin Herbert, the rookie from Oregon, the number 6 pick for the Chargers,
yes.
Been amazing, which is kind of sad because I forgot about him. He's a great story, but it's just with the Chargers, there's so many losses and injuries.
Yeah.
You kind of forget that they have a franchise quarterback, which is always a
right.
good thing to have. And I know your Giants are still kind of undecided with Daniel Jones, but for the Chargers, it seems like Justin Herbert is the guy.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sold on Daniel Jones.
Okay.
I will at least defend him. I am sold on him. But I know the rest of the fan base is not. But yeah, Justin Herbert, I mean, I feel like we're seeing this a lot across the league where there's really good teams and then either like the defense is hurt or the offense is hurt or someone has COVID, half the team's on COVID reserve. So it's just a weird year in general. It's hard to judge exactly what the big picture is and what's moving forward, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of crazy. I was watching some film on the Chargers, and you kind of get used to them being a good defense, you know, a solid offense. Mm-hmm. But it's just lately, like, the defense hasn't been clicking. I know there's injuries, but it's just been kind of bad football. And it's kind of, you know, reminding me, like, okay, this is what some teams with bad secondaries kind of, you know, feel like. Because with
yeah.
the Chargers, you had Derwin James and Casey Hayward and Chris Harris Jr., but that secondary is not doing too well. But for
right.
the rest of the league, sometimes that happens. You have a bad day with the secondary, you get burned a couple of times, or you have bad linebackers.
Right.
So for the Chargers on defense, it's just been different. But it kind of feels common because it seems like every team has like a weak area or a weak
mm-hmm.
link with injuries or something.
Right.
But for these Chargers, it's you know, it seems like they're kind of, you know, they have depth. They have talent in all these positions, Pro
mm-hmm.
Bowl players. They just can't make it work at the same time. They
That's
can't really go together.
I was just going to say the one thing that I do know about the Chargers, even though my information is somewhat limited, is that they do have some big names over there, though. Like on paper, I mean, they're
mm-hmm.
one of those teams that why is your record the way that your record is? Your record should be not that record. I mean, they have Justin Herbert. There's a bunch of guys over there, so it's weird. I mean, we're seeing that a lot across the NFL, I think, but some teams I think are getting hurt a little bit more because you watch them play; they're playing great football. But then it just something goes wrong.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Speaking of the NFL.
I know, right? There's always something going on in the NFL 24 hours, 24/7. But, you know, that's why I keep saying with the Chargers, same old story, because every year in August or training camp, you look out on paper, the rosters, like Joey Bosa is there, Keenan Allen is there, Hunter Henry, Austin Eckler, they signed two guys for the offensive line, Trey Turner, Brian Bulaga. So they were pretty stacked, right. All through the roster, 53 guys. But again, same old Chargers. They can't close games. Yeah. They can't stay healthy. They're competitive. They make it interesting. For me, I don't really like the drama as a writer because I need to get these stories out as soon as possible. But when they close games, I got to wait to the last minute. But that's just kind of life as covering the Chargers. But you're right. There's a lot of talent there. Mm-hmm. I know the rest of the country doesn't really know too much about the Chargers. They're kind of on the radar team. But they're talented. They're stacked. They have injuries, though. But it just feels like for the first time since I've been covering this team that they don't seem right. They seem like a bad team. They seem like a team that's kind of, that's what their record says. They're 2-7. You know, I know they've been close in the injuries, but they're just really looking to it. It's not the same Chargers. And I know the Chargers haven't been the best team, but they've always been okay. But this year doesn't feel the same.
Right. And so, okay. So two follow-up questions to that, not to overwhelm you, is one, we'll start with one. How long have you been covering the Chargers?
This is my third season.
Wow, that's awesome. What did you do before you covered the Chargers?
I was living in Las Vegas covering the Raiders, kind of the move from Oakland to Las Vegas. I was working for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Nice. I got into the beat writer thing. I was the secondary writer for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Yeah. I grew up in Los Angeles though. So when they told me there was a position to be the full-time beat writer, the number one guy, going back home, I was like, okay, I'll jump on that. But I did have fun covering the Raiders in Las Vegas for about 2 or 3 years.
I lived in Vegas too for a little bit, actually.
Really?
So before I left Park City and then I lived in Vegas right after I finished undergrad in like 2015. I was there. It was a blast. I didn't last very long for obvious reasons. But
okay, how long? Well, what year?
I think it was 2015. So I was there like 2015, 2016.
Okay. That was my first year in Vegas.
Really? That's so funny. So I had a lot of, my best friend lives out there. I had to cancel one of my trips actually to go back because of COVID, but that's kind of like the MO of this, of everything that's going on here. But so what do you think that you could pinpoint what is wrong over there? Or do you think that it's a combination of things probably?
Last year I spent a lot of time, pointing the finger at the injuries, but now it's kind of the same thing 2 years in a row. You don't want to keep looking at injuries. You got to look a little deeper than that because they are really banged up. Like there's a lot of star players that are not out there, but the one score losses, they've had 19 one score games in the last 2 years. So that's not a coincidence. It just keeps happening over and over again. And it could be coaching these last, 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. Clock management, not the right play calls, conservative on offense, can't get off the field on defense. It could be coaching. And for Anthony Lynn and the coaching staff there, the seat's getting pretty warm. They're on the hot seat. And if they don't start winning some games, playoffs could be out of the picture at 2-7. But you want to end the year on a good note, some momentum, winning some of these close games, beating some good teams, and then you get off the hot seat. But right now, everybody's asking questions. Are you going to make a coaching change? Are you going to let go of the defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, the head coach? So when you have these close game losses, you start looking at the coaching staff and saying, what can they do better? And there's a good amount that they could work on. And to their credit, they know they're taking a lot of heat. They're answering every question, truthfully, some frustration here and there. But they know they're on the hot seat, and they know they got to get some wins. But overall, I think, you start feeling when things get bad, when the team kind of starts turning on each other and players pointing the finger. So far, they haven't gotten to that point, so that's okay. But you could tell there's some frustration kind of boiling over. Mm-hmm. And Keenan Allen kind of let some of that, let that out on Monday, or was it? Yeah, Monday.
What happened.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. He's been there
He has.
8 years, 9 years, and he's like
every other year I pick him up in fantasy. I usually regret it, but he's one of my, I don't know, it's very intermediate, like I don't know, so every week it's something else, but he's one of my it's literally every other year I pick him up. But
yeah, he's solid with the catches, PPRs, and the yards. He's missing the touchdown. I think that's where the problem is, the touchdowns.
Right.
He's been getting that this year. I think he has about 4 or 5 touchdowns. Better. So it's been better. Mm-hmm. But he finally let out the frustration about the outcome. He's getting his yards. He's getting the catches. He's moving up in the record books for the Chargers, but the wins have not come or came. And he got pretty frustrated. He's like, yeah, it's the same old story. Since I've been here, I'm tired of losing. We got to get it together. No more, you know, mental mistakes, no more hiccups, you know, time to put it together, because it kind of feels like this year is kind of lost. But he got signed for a 4 or 5 year contract, so he has time to turn it around. So he has to do it right now.
Yeah, I feel like you're seeing that even like, I mean, it kind of happened with Golden Tate. I know I don't want to make this about the Giants at all, but you're seeing this across the league where people, like, players at some point are going to start getting frustrated when they're giving their all and they're doing everything that they can, but the rest of the team, I mean, it's kind of this idea of complementary football is where, like, it's always something, it needs to mesh together too. It can't just be one side or the other. But I think that, especially when the fan base, when you start losing the fan base and the heat starts turning on and then the players start turning on, that's when the coaches, they're on the hot seat. And you know what? It's more frustrating to lose a game by 1-2 points than to just get blown out. Like, at least just whoop our ass at this point. Because, like, I mean, losing by 6 points over 5 games is ridiculous. It's so frustrating because why can't you finish? Why are you not finishing the game? So I think it has to play a part too. And then once the coaching staff starts getting involved and the heat starts coming on, and then people start talking.
Yeah, you know, you kind of saw about the Cowboys earlier on this year, but so far with the Chargers, they haven't been like, you know, these plays are not that good. You know, this game does not work for us. So far that has not happened. But you're right, Stephanie. Those you know, 1 point losses or final second. I think I counted for the Chargers. They've lost 5 games in the final play. You know, with the Raiders, you know, they couldn't get that touchdown, you know, their way. Drew Lock had the game-winning touchdown on them. Harrison Butker in week 2 against the Chiefs had a 58-yard field goal in overtime. He made that. Mm-hmm. So it's just like these Chargers cannot catch a break, regardless if it's the defense on the field or the offense or even the special teams. And you see a team like the Miami Dolphins that could score on special teams, defense, and offense. They're 6-3 for a reason, and the Chargers can't do that, and that's why they're 2-7.
Yeah, but you guys have – so you have an interesting – Eckler is coming back this week, maybe. I think they're rushing him, though.
I think,
talked about it on my
show. It sounds like it's a long shot. I think Anthony Lynn said it might be too soon for that. But I know Austin Eckler has been posting on his Instagram that he's been sprinting. He's been working out. I've seen him out there on the practice field. He looks fine. He's not limping. Mm-hmm. There's no cast on his leg or whatever he had.
The problem with him is his injury. He's so at risk for re-injuring it. So
My
concern is, and I see this, I don't know what your thoughts on it. You'll have to let me know. But I'm seeing a lot in the league this year more than ever where I feel like they're really rushing players back. I feel like in the past you didn't see this. I don't know that it's their worry that someone's going to get COVID and you have to get guys back, but I'm seeing a lot of rushing players back this year. I don't know what it is, but they're getting re-injured. I mean, it's happening across the board.
You know, football players get antsy. They want to play out there all the time, but it could be the lack of the, you know, no off-season program, you know, with the pandemic cutting everything off. There was nothing going on between, you know, March and late July, and you kind of just rushed back into it. And then you've missed all those months, and then you miss a couple games, you feel like you've been out the whole year, so you want to rush back out there. But you don't want to mess with a hamstring. Those hamstrings, man, you could wait about a month. You feel okay. You get back on the field, and you tweak it right away, and you're out another month, maybe longer.
Yep.
So I think with Austin Eckler, they're trying to be a little more cautious. But I'm sure he feels okay. He feels fine. But when you get on the field and you play a game, you know, it's a different type of, you know, speed. You're cutting different.
Right.
You pull something, you're out again. And for your fantasy owners, you know, for Austin Eckler, who's very aware of fantasy football, you posted something.
Oh, he did. That's right. I did see that one.
he said, you know, shout out to the people who haven't dropped me yet. So he's trying to be, you know, he's aware of fantasy football, but you still can't rush it. So I think for Austin Eckler, it's better, I think, for him next week. I don't think he comes back this week.
Yeah.
And first of all, he still has to get on the practice field and do the whole 21-day thing and see how he's doing.
Yeah.
That hasn't started yet, so I don't think he's closer.
Yeah.
But it could be.
I think he's a little over-eager. It's probably, I mean, being on these teams, you're pressured. I mean, it's happening all over where players are trying to come back. We see it with Ridley, we see it with Freeman. It's happening at the Giants right now. They try to come back, and then they get to practice, and then they overcompensate, they hurt something else. It's a mess. But, I mean, they want to play, but they don't realize that their bodies, you guys are professional athletes. Like, this is not your average person getting an injury. Your body is so used to wear and tear at that point. It's crazy.
Especially these running backs. Like, look at Christian McCaffrey last week.
My gosh.
He came back and he got hurt again. So It just happens with running backs. I know they're kind of hard to find on the waiver wire, but you got to stack up on running backs because, you know, one big hit and they're out for like a couple of weeks. But
yeah,
Austin Eckler's been okay the last couple of years. It's kind of the first time he's been hurt. And
yeah,
he's such a great running back, especially in a PPR format. He could catch the ball from the backfield. He almost had 100 catches a year ago. So hopefully he's back out there, because I think he's probably the Chargers' best offensive player. He bailed them out so many times a year ago. I know Keenan Allen is great, but Austin Eckler was pretty clutch for game winning scores last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, going off of that then, do you think that, like, going into the draft, what do you think is, like, the most important aspect to the draft this year for you guys?
Yeah, I know a lot of Chargers fans are already starting, you know, the draft process. They're looking at mock drafts. They're telling me, you know, who should the Chargers get? I'm like, there's 7 games left, but, you know, I don't blame them. The playoffs are not gonna happen this year, but I think they got to go left tackle. There's some really good tackles in the draft, especially Justin Herbert's former teammate in Oregon. I don't even want to botch his name, so I won't try, but everybody knows.
We kind of want him, though, so be careful.
Everybody wants him, you know?
We also played Shane Lemieux, but the Giants are picking up a little bit, so I think we'll drop down. I don't know that we're going to end up – he's going to be left. So.
What's the Giants' record, by the way?
We are now 3-7. We just won our – so we beat Washington twice, and we just beat the Eagles, and we haven't beaten them
in
8 consecutive games. So it was very nice to see. So I think
the Chargers are now ahead of them.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, we're just starting to pull it together, though. I mean, I'm sure you can relate, being a Chargers fan. It's very, or not even a fan. I don't know. What are they, your team?
No, I'm just a reporter, the beat writer.
You don't have a team, though?
You know, as a reporter, I'm not really allowed to anymore. But, you know, I'll say the team I grew up rooting for is kind of random, because I grew up in Los Angeles. There was no football team. So for me, it was the Minnesota Vikings.
Cool.
Randy Moss was my favorite player growing up. You know, I wanted to be a receiver like him. And then I don't know where LA has two more football teams. So that's kind of crazy. So for me, I had to go all the way to Minnesota to kind of find a team to root for. Yeah. But now
being a reporter.
I'm telling you, I don't even know the records or standing. I'm like just looking at the Chargers and sometimes I glance over at the standings and some games, you know, especially when the Chargers are not playing. I try to watch the primetime games. Like I watched the Giants game against the Buccaneers, but other than that, if it's not on primetime, I'm usually, you know, focus on the Chargers and they keep me busy with all their losses. Yeah.
Well, that was another one of those Chargers like losses where we lose by like 1 point and it's like so frustrating. There's something missing, but I'll blame Jason Garrett for that. But we will not talk about Jason Garrett tonight. So left tackle is probably that's the biggest area. So do you think the weakness is on the offensive line then?
You know, it hasn't been that bad this year. It's been okay. They did sign some good pieces, but they haven't been playing, like Trey Turner and Brian Bulaga.
That's right.
They've been kind of banged up. But, you know, Justin Herbert has been so good at releasing the ball quickly and even doing it downfield. Like guys are getting up pretty quick and they're making it work. And I think for Anthony Lynn, for credit for him, he's kind of getting him more protection, doing these max protections with extra tight ends and extra linemen. So it's been working now. But they also have problems on defense. So it wouldn't surprise me if maybe they get like another edge rusher opposite side of Joey Bosa, because Melvin Ingram has 1 year left on his contract, which is this year. So he's going to be a free agent. So he might walk. He might not re-sign him. And you might need another guy to kind of replace him there as a defensive end. Maybe they were pretty bad in the secondary this first half of the year. So maybe they find a corner, maybe another safety. I know they have Derwin James coming back, but. You know, it's not just left tackle. They have some other weaknesses and holes to fill. So we'll see how it is. But it's crazy. I know it's only November, but I guess, you know, it's that time of year where the bathrooms are looking ahead for the draft.
I know. People start going, this is like when the panic occurs. And I feel like it occurred a little bit sooner because I all over the league, it's like a little inconsistent. This is such a weird year in the NFL that last week there was upsets all over the place. It's pretty inconsistent because people are missing so many players, but it kind of just depends. It was interesting to see. Do you have a Super Bowl prediction?
Not yet. Well, I know the Chiefs are playing the Raiders this week and the Raiders beat the Chiefs, but I keep thinking the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL by far, but they lost to the Raiders. So who knows? Maybe there's something there that the Raiders exposed and they play each other, you know, in a big AFC West matchup, but I just keep thinking the Chiefs. I'm not even sure about the NFC. It's pretty close there. I kept thinking that for at one point the Seahawks, but Russell Wilson kind of fell off a little bit the last couple of weeks.
I don't know what's going on.
Even the Saints, the Buccaneers, maybe the Packers. I can't really pick one in the NFC, but I feel like the Steelers are undefeated, so maybe that could be another one. But I feel like the Chiefs are probably number one still.
Yeah, I think so too. Definitely, it's hard to figure out. There's also after this week, there's a lot of players coming back off injuries. Like between these this week, like 11 to 13, there's a lot of players coming back all across the league. So I think the next couple of weeks, maybe we'll be able to tell. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it's the whole thing is crazy. This year is crazy. Has it been different? So compared to past years reporting, what's like the biggest difference? Is that having to wear a mask, or is it that you're limited on what you? Is there a different vibe in the locker rooms? I'm not even sure what access.
We're not even allowed to be in the locker room. And that's the biggest thing for me as a beat reporter. I feel like, I get most of my work for the week or my story ideas or just, you know, stories coming out, features, whatever it is, game stories from that locker room time. You know, in a regular year, we would get about 45 minutes three times a week. I think it was Wednesday through Friday. We'll get 45 minutes in the locker room. You get to walk around, have one-on-one conversations. Players are more outgoing. It's not a bunch of cameras everywhere. Right. You know, you have your star players that get the whole big scrum around. But there's a few players are, you know, under the radar. You go over, you talk to them, and they just give you a bunch of good insight. Yeah. Very talkative. You get to talk, you know, football or just, you know, just whatever's going on in their life. It could become a feature story later on. But we don't have that anymore. We're all reporters have the same access on Zoom. We're all asking the same questions, kind of. We're doing the same stories. And it's kind of weird. Like sometimes you're working on a specific angle and you're asking a player about, you know, their diet or whatever they're doing. And people are like, why are you bringing this up? And we're just, let's talk about football. But we all have different stories that it might seem weird to people. Why are you asking these questions? So, you know, you kind of got to adjust and see how things, you make it work. But so far it's been okay, but not the best.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, also, especially with the team, I mean, it's impossible. You have to keep track of so much, I'm sure, especially with COVID reserve, this and that.
Yeah, it's changed so much. Yeah.
I don't know where anyone, what is happening. It's so confusing.
I'm learning on the fly, on the go, just like you are. And some of the, you know, the good thing with the Chargers, though, you know, the GM and the coach, they're very cool about, like, you know, sometimes you think you're asking a dumb question or a simple question, but they break it down for you. They tell you, you know, who gets to come off IR and on the COVID list and, you know, who's able to be active on game day, stuff like that, or how many people you can have active. You know, it's changed so much this year that we're all kind of learning together, that even the coaches in the front office are kind of helping the reporters. Right. Yeah. This guy could come back. This guy's clear. This guy's not. So
it's okay. So it kind of adds a layer of, like, networking. Not networking is not the word, but it's adding a new level of interaction, I think, because you have to you're having to elaborate in a different sense almost. So
definitely.
That's actually cool.
Yeah, because the team wants you to make sure you got these things right. You know, you don't want to have it all wrong. Like, I think a couple of weeks ago, the Chargers had a player for the first time test positive for COVID. So everybody's trying to figure out, even the team was trying to figure out, what did we do with the list and the reserve and all that stuff. Yeah. We're all learning together. That one player was, I think he was put on the reserve COVID list because he was one of those high contact guys who could have been exposed. And we're trying to figure out, is he able to play on game day or not? Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, if he passes a certain amount of tests before Sunday, he could come off right away and be active for game day. And certainly and sure enough, that player played on the same day after passing.
Yeah. That's like one of the most confusing parts is they start putting them on the list, but it's because of high contact. And then, like, you don't know, is that last test? I mean, like, me being, so I'm a medical student and so this is where I get interested in the injuries and the COVID and whatever, but I mean, there's such a big gap between when you could get the virus. So it makes people don't get why people are getting tested day one, two, three, but then on four, all of a sudden they can't play. So it's so hard to keep track of. How do you keep track of it all? It's insane.
Yeah. And I there's been situations where, like, you know, you also want to, you know, keep in mind that some players don't want their name to be out there, you know, saying, you know, they tested positive or they were at risk. And so sometimes I know teams want to keep it, you know, under the radar and not as talkative about it. So that kind of makes it a little more difficult as well, because you want to keep in mind who, you know, some players don't want to be mentioned with this.
Right.
kind of, I guess, a bad stigma, but
right.
That's just the way it is nowadays. It's kind of common. Everybody wants to find out who has it, who's not, who's going to play. It's just weird.
I know, it's crazy.
But, you know, you're right. You know, hopefully things get better soon.
I hope so.
Amazed that we're here talking football after, 10 weeks?
You know, let's just, I'm holding on to it. Like, it's like there's only a few things that you can hold on to. And I feel like thank God we got a season. I hope that we're able to push through. I think I will give the NFL pat on the back. I think that their handling of it has been pretty impressive. And I think that normally I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that they do, but I think that they've done a really good job handling it. I think they're making sure that players don't come back too soon. Mm-hmm. With the exception of Cam Newton, but that's a whole nother podcast. But I think they're doing a good job. I think they're trying to keep up with it. They're making them get multiple tests. Do the players seem frustrated about that?
Not really. You know, I kind of stopped asking about it, or we all kind of stopped asking. It's kind of routine now. It's kind of normal. But I don't think – I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to play football, and this is the way to do it. To, you know, get the nose swab every day. You know, might as well do it. It's okay. But it's been some rough patches, you know, for the NFL. You know, a lot of postponed games, but nothing really, you know, recently. So that's good news.
They've done good. Yeah, I think so. All right, so everyone talks about is COVID now, so I'll get off COVID. But before we start wrapping things up, two things. What is the most surprising part of this season for the Chargers, not related to COVID? And what are you looking forward to moving forward?
You know, I'll start with the second question. Looking forward to it. It has to be Justin Herbert. You know, for the Chargers to go from a future Hall of Famer and Phillip Rivers to Justin Herbert in one offseason, that's amazing. Some teams go decades without having a franchise quarterback. as you know, but you had Eli Manning, the Giants, for a good stretch there.
Yeah.
But a team like the Dolphins, they have Tua now, but they, after Dan Marino, they struggled to get a quarterback. The team like the Broncos, John Elway, after that, they struggled. Mm-hmm. So some teams kind of go decades. So for the Chargers to have Justin Herbert right away and just playing the way he's played, like he kind of reminds people of Patrick Mahomes, and that's high praise right there. So moving forward, I want to see what they do and how they build around him, because you know, in the NFL, when you have a rookie on a rookie contract, you have so much potential to kind of, bring in some players and catch.
Sure.
So I think for everybody, even in the NFL, I think people are excited about Justin Herbert. So for me, I want to see what he does for the second year.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's so cool. It must be cool too, for you reporting on a team that kind of is still in this development stage. And as frustrating as it kind of is watching it, I feel like the second that it kind of sticks together, it's going to be so cool. Cause if you were to stay with them to watch his career take off as a rookie quarterback, that's awesome. So I feel like there has to be, those are the little positives, I'm sure, is you have this such a close contact with the franchise that other people obviously don't get.
Yeah. It's funny. Sometimes I don't really take time to think about stuff like that, but with the Herbert stuff, you know, it was kind of crazy, because his first start in week two was the first game for the Chargers at SoFi Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for him to open the stadium, the rookie quarterback that, you know, and on 1 minute notice open a brand new stadium for the Chargers, kind of crazy. So I decided to save, you know, the flip cards that we get in the press box, these big cards with the players and all that. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna keep it. It could be something that's, you know, worth some value in 20 years. You know, Justin Herbert has a great career. That was his crazy debut, and I was there to see it. So
wow.
You never know, you know, in the NFL, things change fast, but it feels like Herbert has that type of future.
Yeah, he does. You can tell. If you've been watching the NFL long enough, watching football, you can kind of tell when someone, you can tell when a quarterback kind of has a future. Sometimes it's hard to tell because of the people around him, but the fact that he's able to do so well with some of those gaps or, you know, they like to say Swiss cheese holes. He's doing great, right? I mean, Daniel Jones is not someone that has been able to overcome having crap around him. So, right.
That was the thing with Justin Herbert right away. I know I try to catch myself. Am I jumping the gun too soon? Am I overhyping this kid? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just been, even right now, it's only been seven starts, right? I think it's already been 8 starts for him, but you know, he was making guys, you know, guys who are undrafted players, practice squad players, he was making them better. You know, he was, you know, guys like Jalen Guyton, who nobody really heard of before this year. He's getting 70-yard touchdowns, you know, kind of on a weekly basis. The O line has been banged up, but he's been making it work. Austin Eckler's not out there, but he's making it work with a guy like Kalen Ballage. You know, all these guys are who are, you know, released or picked up. He's making it work. So that's when you know you have a quarterback that can elevate people. That's when you know he's pretty good.
Yeah. Ballage actually got me a ton of points. I picked him up very last minute. I was very excited about him. He played great. He had such a good game. He's awesome. I think it was last week. Well, I picked him up 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But I played him, I think, this past week. And he got me like 14 points. Yeah, and I was okay.
He was our best player on offense against the Dolphins. Yeah. And, you know, credit to you because I kept thinking, because they kept switching the lead back from Tremaine Pope, Justin Jackson.
Yeah.
To Kalen Ballage. And I thought, you know what? This is going to be the week that the rookie, Joshua Kelly, gets his turn. And one of my leagues, I started Joshua Kelly, and that did not work out for me. Yeah. So it was Kalen Ballage, as you kind of benefited from that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's going to be their lead back for this week, too. So
I think so, too. Yeah, so I was looking at that.
Playing the Jets, you know, he could have another big day.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. So I think we maybe wrap things up now. Thank you so much for talking with me. This is great. You're awesome. This is awesome.
Thank you for having me on, Stephanie. I just needed a beer like you. That, you know, the Reds are pretty good.
It's my first time, okay?
I need one.
To calm the nerves a little bit.
Oh, you were fine. You're great.
Questions and I got it, but it's new to me. But I'm having fun. I love football. I think it's so nice to network with people and just something to do during. I mean, I'm gonna say the pandemic again, but it's true. It's nice to be able to have something.
This is normal.
Yeah, exactly. So why don't you tell everyone again where everyone can find you? Do you have somewhere that people can find your writing? Is there what's coming up?
Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's kind of crazy. We have 11 newspapers. So we have 11 websites, but the main website is the Orange County Register and the Los Angeles Daily News, the two biggest ones we have. So all my stories are there. You can find them or you can send me you can send me an email if you want also. I tend to answer them too. So gmonsano@scng.com, or you can find me on Twitter @gmonsano24. But make sure to read my story, subscribe if you can, and that will mean a lot to me.
It's awesome. Yeah, you're super cool. So I met a couple of – this is awesome. I'm going to definitely end up in your DMs if I have some questions about roster. And if I need a little insight – throw me a bone, okay?
Yeah, that was kind of funny. When Justin Jackson got hurt 2 weeks ago, I got a bunch of DMs from people saying, "Is Justin Jackson going to come back? Is he? What's going on?" I'm like, guys, I'm tweeting it out. You know, watch it live. Yeah, you don't send me a message. I got you. Yeah. I know what's going on. You know,
so support these guys. Everyone that's listening. This is like these people have such better insight than anyone else. It's like that's why I have notifications on for so many report because I. That's how I get my information. And you guys have such a – you're so – it's like the best information you could get. You guys have every – it's the inside information. It's awesome.
Yeah. That's the way I'm looking at it. I'm going to call myself an insider. Right? The way you play like that, okay, why not? You know?
You're like a private investigator or like something – it's so awesome. It's very cool. I'm very jealous. But I will not gas you up too much longer as you are. Again, so my name is, I go by Steffi Smalls. You can find me on Twitter @Steffi Smalls with 3 L's. We actually, since this is a new show, we are giving away a Eli Manning jersey. So in order to qualify for it, you have to follow me, follow our Twitter page @onbeat19, @sleeperwireshow, and then take a screenshot of your review of the show. It's a lot of steps, I know, but it's Eli Manning. And if you at least do it, and then you guys can send it to me because obviously that's near and dear to my heart. But send a picture of your review to justin@sleeperwire.com and enter to win for the Eli Manning. And,
I might do that myself.
Yeah, right? I mean,
Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl, so that's high praise right there to get that jersey.
It's like, that's my dream is growing up. It's like, 07 and 11, those are my years, right? I'm being a Giants fan. But thank you so much, Goer. It seriously was great to talk to you. Everyone follow him. He'll give you all the insight on the Chargers.
Thank you, Steffi. We'll see. They're playing the Jets, so maybe.
Awesome.
Sure. Bye.